Hey guys, I'm just going to start the show with a little email today. This is from Roshanak. Roshanak, that's a cool name. That's a really cool name. It says, hi, I'm Roshi. Cool shortening of Roshanak, a high school student in Sweden who very much enjoys your podcast. It made me laugh and I genuinely gain a lot of information from it. Congratulations, just Corey, because me and James provide none of the information. In your more recent episodes, you've been mentioning diabetes a lot, and when the topic comes up, I get weirdly excited because I have type 1 diabetes. That's good that we somehow didn't offend people with diabetes, because I was a little bit worried about that. I don't know why, but there's a weirdly inclusive feeling for diabetes to be mentioned. Cool. Also, Luke, your episode, The Time Traveling Twins, really helped the discussion in my philosophy class, so thanks for that. You're welcome. We're trying to do science, but I tried to make it about philosophy, and I'm very happy about that, so you're very welcome, Roshi. I'm not sure where I'm going with this email. Just wanted to let you guys that you make my week a little bit better. Keep up the amazing work, Roshi.
Roshi.
Fantastic. Roshi. That's Roshi. Made me so happy. Thanks, Roshi.
That's a nice email.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jam and Luke Cutfer.
I'm a go-host now.
Go-host.
It caught in my throat. This week, we'll be talking about Soviet survival and cosmonaut capers. In March of 1965, two Soviet cosmonauts had to face freezing conditions and other things.
Ooh.
While not in space.
What?
They crashed hundreds of miles off course.
Were they in Antarctica or something?
No, they were in Russia. Soviet. I don't know where it is. Soviet.
Somewhere that's now
area.
Russia.
Yeah.
Populated Antarctica.
Or it's not Russia anymore. Soviet Union.
Okay.
I don't know geography.
Good job.
Once again, this is not the geography, guys. This is
episode two of Jog Guys.
So I'll give you guys a little bit of background as to what happened. Basically, two Soviet cosmonauts were up in space and tried to get down from space, but landed way off course and ended up in the woods.
Not very good at their job.
They didn't even get to space, did they?
I mean, they did get to space. They were in space. They did their biz.
They didn't land in space.
James, you can't land in space. Shut up.
This thing's in space to land on.
No, you're not in space. You're on the rock.
You're on the space station.
In space.
Technically, we're all in space right now. So, no, you know.
We're on Earth, which is different to space.
No, we're in space.
Everything is space.
There's space in us as well,
in between
parts
of your atoms.
I know.
It's mostly space.
I don't like this. I was watching a documentary this week about string theory. And it had a comparison of,
I want to point out, Luke was watching this documentary on string theory whilst trying to recover from being ill.
Yeah,
you told me that.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
I don't know what's wrong with me. When I say I don't like science on this podcast, I actually friggin' love science. But it was talking about how if you took the Empire State Building and crushed it down to the size of not having any space between the parts of the atoms, it would be the size of a grain of rice. So that's just stupid. The idea that we think anything exists is hilarious. Carry on.
So these guys were on the Vostok 2, which is Russian for Sunrise 2.
Very cute.
Yes.
Sunrise.
I guess. Vostok. A little less cute than Sunrise.
Vostok.
Look at the beautiful Vostok.
It's a very aggressive language.
So I guess you guys are asking.
Are we?
Well, I hope you are.
We are.
What happened to the Vostok 1?
I was just asking that.
Oh, God, yeah. What happened to the Vostok 1?
We want to know.
Not much. It went up into space. It the people in it didn't have any spacesuits on.
Right.
At all.
But it was airtight, I assume.
Well, obviously. They are not dead.
I don't know, man.
Well, they are now.
Before we knew what space was like, we could have just not been sure and sent people up without spacesuits.
This was in 1964. It was there were a lot of firsts on the Vostok 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was the first spaceflight to carry more than one crew member, the first without spacesuits, and the first to have an engineer or physician.
Can I ask a really teenage boy question?
Go ahead.
When you said there's been lots of firsts in space, has anyone had sex in space yet?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We don't think that you can have sex in space.
What?
Okay, so last I checked, you might not be able to have sex in space.
What do you mean last
is
you
it because,
checked?
Is it because
I don't check often. I just, it comes up.
I don't know. Is it vacuum sealed? I don't know.
No, James, that's not why.
It's the microgravity that's the issue, not the fact that you're in a spacesuit.
It's definitely the vacuum.
So the Vostok 1 got to 336 kilometers, which is 209 miles, which, as we know, is definitely space.
That's definitely space.
For the Americans as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Finally, some agreement between the US and Russia.
So they just got rid of the three spacesuits because they didn't have enough space for them.
Enough space? Enough.
They have plenty of space.
They were in space.
It's called space.
They didn't have enough space inside the spaceship.
Sure.
Because they were cramming.
They should have put more space inside the spaceship then.
Well, they would have died. That's why you need a space suit.
Oh, yeah.
To be in space.
That's true.
Yeah. So they wanted to have three people on, but it was designed to carry two people. So they thought, well, if we just get rid of the space suits, then we have enough space for a third person.
You can just sit on my lap.
So long as they don't get out of the spaceship, they'll be fine. And they were.
As long as they don't get out of the spaceship.
Yeah, just don't get out. But I think there were only two chairs as well.
So
until they removed them all.
Sitting on someone's lap?
Don't you hate it when you get on the tube and there's no seat?
Basically that, except
all
you're
the
blasting.
All the way to space.
Please move down all the way into the spaceship.
And some guy's got his bloody bag on, you know?
Please mind the gap between the train and the end of the universe.
So that's the Voskhod 1. Then they moved on to the Voskhod 2, which is the one we're going to be talking about. And it ended with the Voskhod 2, by the way. They didn't do any more.
Fun.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I really like trilogies. So that's disappointing.
Well, unfortunately, this is a duology.
That's one for, for the title of the podcast, I think. The Sexy Space Duology.
Oh, stop it.
So on the Voskhod 1, we had the commander, who was Pavel Belyayev.
Yes.
Do you want to give that another shot?
Nope.
Okay. Who else?
That was his only space flight. There was also the pilot, who was Alexei Leonov. That was his first space flight. So Alexei went on to do more after that. But
that name does sound familiar, actually.
Most Russians.
That's true.
You're probably going to be called Alexei, to be honest.
It's like the John of Russia, isn't it?
That's like the Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they went up on the 18th of March in 1965. And the Voskhod 2 was actually really important because it was the first ever space trip to have a spacewalk.
But they had spacesuits, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, yes. These guys did.
Okay.
But
very nice.
Yeah, there were a few issues when he went out into space. Obviously, he had to be wearing an EVA, which is
electronic. Velocity.
Velocity.
It begins with E.
Electronic.
Electronic.
No.
Velocity.
No, you're all wrong.
Amulet.
Electric.
Yes, he wore a single amulet around his neck, which protected him from the...
Hooray!
Taken from the tomb of Tutankhamun.
I'm going to see Tutankhamun in a few weeks.
Really?
Well,
you hanging
months.
Out again?
Yeah, yeah, me and him. We're catching up. We fell out for a bit.
It's an extra...
He's lost some weight.
He's lost some weight? Yeah, he's just dust now.
That's quite a lot of weight.
An EVA is an extravehicular activity.
Okay. That sounds like a spacey word for sex. We're going to partake in an extravehicular activity.
We're going to sex in the cold vacuum of space. It's the only way to keep warm.
That is potentially the most unsexy place.
I don't think so, James.
No, I don't. No.
No, space is quite like, that's quite romantic, I think. Like, it's just you and them. You're just up floating in the vastness of
the
space.
Cold,
see a nebula like off
space.
In the distance. It's really nice.
I think that's lovely.
Have you not seen WALL-E?
Wouldn't you freeze and boil?
Well, sure, you'd freeze and boil, James.
Not, that's
like,
not
you could have like a shared space suit, like a you could call it extravehicular activity suit.
Duology.
Have you not seen that scene in WALL-E where they have the whole like...
VAD.
Mm. Yeah, in WALL-E. Mm. In WALL-E.
Do they have sex in WALL-E?
No.
I mean, kind of.
WALL-E and Eva, they like dance around in space.
Because they're robots.
Lovely.
It's very romantic.
It's lovely.
Because they're robots.
What do you mean they dance romantically because they're robots? Robots don't dance romantically.
That's the whole point.
They don't die.
So I was telling you about how Alexei and Pavel.
Yes.
Were one of the first people to do a spacewalk.
Yes.
I lied because it's not both of them. It was just Alexei that did it.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
for lying, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it happens sometimes.
Only give us the facts.
So it was on March 18th. It was on March 18th, 1965 at 8:28 UTC. It was depressurized, the airlock, for Leonov to go out. And at 8:32, he opened the airlock hatch to go outside. And then he leaves the airlock at 8:34.
Took him 2 minutes to leave the airlock.
I know, right?
What are you doing?
It's really slow work.
I assume you go slower in space.
It took him six. Well, not really. You're not really encumbered by air resistance, so realistically, you should be going faster.
Okay.
But it took him 6 minutes to get out of a door, essentially. Yeah. He was out.
Sometimes it takes me to get 6 minutes out of a door.
Yeah. He was out for about 12 minutes, but it didn't go quite as planned.
How so?
He was out there, and he was supposed to attach a camera onto, you know, a bracket on the outside and then take a picture with his spacesuit.
Why did you point at your chest like he's a Teletubby?
Because that's where the camera is.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, so there's two cameras, so he attached one to a bracket.
Like a reverse Teletubby. Well, he has a camera rather than a screen on his chest.
Oh. Yeah, so...
Okay, someone else with a television or something.
This is something that's actually relevant. So in 1969, obviously there's pictures of Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Supposedly.
And, right, here's the thing. People that are fools will tell you, oh, how did they take the pictures when you can't see a camera in the reflection
sure.
of... Do you really think they took a camera up into space? No, they're attached to the space. The yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the spacesuits had cameras in the
but
chest.
Are there any pictures of both of them in the same picture?
I mean, I don't think so.
Let's and if look
they,
it up.
But if there are, then there'll be cameras on the there'll be cameras just course, on the landing
board. Of course you can't operate a camera with a spacesuit on. It'd be really hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be the first selfie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In space. That'd be great.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So yeah, he attached it all right. But that's when things started to go wrong. He couldn't really take a picture with a camera on his chest because his spacesuit had kind of expanded too much.
Oh.
Yeah. And it had gotten, like, he wasn't able to move his fingers well enough to operate the camera.
Weird.
Yeah. Because, I mean, because he's out in the vacuum of space and it's full of air, obviously.
Sure. Hmm.
So it expanded and he wasn't able to do it. So he decided to go back into the spaceship. When he got to the door, he couldn't really move his arms or legs because the spacesuit had basically expanded, ballooned up. It had gotten really stiff.
So he was like a big starfish in space.
Yeah, effectively. Like, he was like literally stuck there. So he was like, what can I do? He had to release some of the air from his suit.
Wow. Yeah. Like doing a little space fart.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, bear in mind, obviously, you're
letting
in space.
Out a balloon.
Microgravity. Mm. If you start moving something, it's going to keep on moving basically forever.
Mm.
So a little bit of force in the wrong direction or too much force in the wrong direction could shit you off quite
sure.
a bit.
Yeah.
So he let a little bit of his air out below the level that it was safe to do. So he was like flying by the seat of his pants, essentially. And because it didn't have much air in it, he was able to move again. And he was able to get back into the spaceship again after 12 minutes. But he was really, really close to just like dying in space.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah, he had 40 minutes before his life support would have.
I would like very much to do a spacewalk before I'm dead. But it also does sound like the most terrifying thing in the entire world.
Because if you mess up, one thing goes wrong.
You're just going to float away forever.
It's like tightrope walking without the rope.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do it
if
so
you fall
bad.
Off, you just keep falling.
I really hope commercial space flight is a thing before I'm like 80 and I can go up and do it.
Mm.
But like, if you mess up, man, that's not a good, like, although maybe it is a good thing. Maybe you just like, you'd get so zen out there if you were floating away. You were like, okay, there's nothing I can do. I may as well just like meditate, have a nice dream.
I think they would all just come with auto kill features. They'd have to.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it.
No, you don't
auto
have to.
Kill? What, you mean like, it just goes, you are not in the spaceship. Prepare
no, you're,
to die.
No, it's as like, in like, you press a button that kills,
yeah, yeah,
kills
yeah,
you for you.
You can just not choose the button.
Yeah.
Not press the button.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you probably would want to.
Yeah.
Surely. If you're
well,
floating,
I'd probably stay floating out there for a bit.
If yeah. you're, if you, basically, if you're going out like into space at any speed, you're never going to see anything again.
Yeah, but you could enjoy that for the time being.
Yeah.
No.
And what I mean
when
is,
you've got one like, minute of life support,
if your view on life is that like death is death and that's it, then you may as well like prolong your life for as long as you possibly can, experiencing floating around with no reference to anything. Get a bit chill, meditate a bit if you've never done that in your whole life. Like, you've got all the time in the world now.
Probably a good place
that
to
is
meditate.
That is the best time to meditate, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
free from all distractions.
Yeah, because it's like, if you're meditating with the goal of trying to work out the universe, what better time than just before you're definitely about to die?
The thing is, as well, if you're moving, you're not accelerating, you're just moving at a constant speed, which you would be. it doesn't feel like you're moving at all.
Just, exactly. You just feel
you
still.
You just be sitting. You'd be sitting still while the whole universe is racing
past
you.
That's true. I didn't even think about that because there's no reference.
But you would still get sick because you can see and all the stars would be spinning and the Earth would be spinning.
They probably wouldn't be. If you're spinning, it would be. But if you were just moving directly along, you probably wouldn't because the stars are so far away, they wouldn't be moving too much. God, that's horrible.
But if you spun around...
If you were spinning, like, I mean, you'd be spinning.
Everything was spinning around you.
Oh, yeah, so you'd be spinning.
Horrible. Have you seen Gravity? Awful. Awful time.
I haven't actually seen Gravity. I didn't see it in the cinema, so I decided I didn't want to see it.
I understand. You should still see it.
It's a cinema kind of film, though.
Nah, put it on your laptop. Put it on full screen. Turn your eyes off. Turn the lights off.
Yeah.
Sit really close to your screen. You're basically in the cinema.
Just watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So Leonov got back into the spaceship, which was quite lucky, but that's not where their problems ended. So he didn't actually tell, but he didn't tell any of this to the people down on Earth, by the way. While he was letting his life support out, he didn't tell them because he thought, oh, they might freak out.
For good reason.
Yeah,
they would.
They would. Understandably, they would. But he was like, I'll keep this one to myself.
There's a reason they'd freak out.
Yeah, but he was all right. So, kind of worked out all right. Yeah, good job.
Okay.
And the lesson is, don't listen to space control.
Fair play to him.
Do your own thing, man.
Break the rules. It's cool.
If it feels right, just do it.
The thing about this is, you'd think that space flight would be something that's really well controlled, and there aren't very many mistakes, and everything goes to plan, or everyone dies.
Oh, I wouldn't think that at all.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Most space trips have something go quite wrong.
Yeah. I guess in the grand scheme of things, we've not done that many.
But that's why it's so important you send up someone who's like a fighter pilot, so that they kind of know what to do in dangerous situations rather than like me or James.
Yeah,
like,
especially me. Just point it towards the ground.
To expand on that, if you want to be an astronaut, you need to basically be a pilot or something. You can't just be a scientist, usually.
Damn.
They take people with...
Damn, a scientist, can't do it.
I have a science podcast in which I know nothing.
I suppose you're closer to a scientist than you are to a pilot.
No.
I don't think so.
Neither.
No, okay. Because you can't be a scientist without a science degree, but you could be a pilot without a degree. You can just do pilot lessons.
I've been in
But then a degree is just science lessons.
Yeah, but it's a piece of paper as well. There's a goal to cross, whereas being a pilot is scalar. Like, you get closer to being a pilot every time you try and practice to be a pilot. Whereas when you are a scientist, you could go and do a degree and do 3 years of work and then not pass and then fail and then all the work was for nothing.
Fair enough.
Ha-ha! Oh,
lovely.
I just explained scalar something. I don't know.
Good job, Luke.
Thank you.
So the mission was 26 hours. And 5 minutes before they were scheduled to come back, they noticed a problem with their automatic guidance system.
Fantastic.
Which is not what you want.
What was the problem?
It wasn't working.
Oh!
That is a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah, so the computer couldn't orient the spacecraft in space. It really had no idea what was going on. So the best solution was obviously just to turn it off and it by eye.
Was it running Windows Vista?
This was long before Windows Vista.
Oh no, Explorer.exe has crashed.
Windows Vista would have been really advanced.
It was Windows XP, probably.
If computers on Earth use Explorer.exe, do space computers use SpaceExplorer.exe?
That wasn't funny.
I'm just going to take a sip of my coffee there.
Let's
just
sit in silence
for very happy with myself
for just a little bit for you to feel bad about yourself. So the computer couldn't figure out where the spacecraft was, and they turned it off to, you know, basically do it by eye, which if you're traveling at the speeds you're supposed to be traveling on re-entry, is very, very scary. Bear in mind, things burn up on re-entry. That's very fast. So they shut off the landing program and decided to do another orbit around the Earth to, you know, kind of...
Just casually do another orbit around the Earth.
May as well.
I mean, it's to kind of kill some time. Well, save some time, really.
Slow down
to give them to give themselves more time
to
figure out what to do.
I see.
I got some time to kill.
Did they tell the space guys... on the floor, sorry, I'm not very technical speech here. Did they tell the space guys on the floor? Did they tell Mission Control on Earth that they'd messed up this time?
Russian.
Oh, they hadn't messed up.
No, but they were in trouble.
They had done, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So they did another orbit, which is effectively like, do you know when you're trying to drive into a parking space?
And you go black around
the block. Well, you mess it up. Yeah. You go around to try and get back in again. Yeah. That's effectively what you did.
You missed your turning on a roundabout, so you go all the way around.
Sounds like a big deal, but actually it's just, you know, it's just a casual orbit around the Earth.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Shooting around the Earth a little bit. It's
NBD.
Fine. Sure. Yeah. So they went around the Earth again, and they had to, in that time, decide somewhere to land. So Leonov was the navigator. So he picked the landing spot, and he decided to land near Perm, which is just west of the Ural Mountains, which is on Soviet soil.
I'm familiar.
Yes.
Did they have to pick their landing spot? I'm imagining, because this is part of the time when the Soviet Union existed, mm-hmm. they would have had to pick that landing spot not just based on where was a good place to land, but also where they wouldn't be captured by an enemy.
So if they landed in China, it would have been an international incident.
That
so yeah,
sucks so much. Yeah. Imagine you're like, oh, I need to land my freaking spaceship or I'm going to be dead. And then you have to think of the geopolitical climate.
Whereas now it's much more straight. Just avoid North Korea and probably North America. you're good.
I reckon China's going to kick off if we park there.
It's like parking in a named parking spot. You're like, oh. Yeah. So just to give you an idea of how fast they're moving.
Fast?
Quite fast. Yes. So during the spacewalk, and this is during the orbit. So during the spacewalk, which was 12 minutes and 9 seconds, they started over North Central Africa, around Southern Egypt, and ended over Eastern Siberia, which is in Europe. So they went from Africa to like
in 12 minutes
to Eastern Europe in 12 minutes.
Wow, that's speedy.
That's quite quick.
Yeah. So that next orbit around the Earth wasn't very much. They had to figure out a place and be like, okay, we're landing here now.
Yeah.
And the only reason that isn't scary is because they have no relativity there. There's nothing else to compare your speed to. So you're shooting past like thousands of kilometers an hour, and you're just doing a little spacewalk and letting out a little space fart.
Yeah. To be fair, but then the thing is that this is long before we had much. Anything in space, really, because this is before we even put people on the moon.
Sure. So there's no satellites to, well, very few satellites to compare yourself to.
Yeah, it's pretty empty, so you know there wasn't much chance of being hit by something, which is quite nice.
Good news.
That's the thing though, isn't it? There's so much junk that we can't safely get out or in.
Yeah, it's illegal.
I don't know which one it is.
Well, it's illegal to both, probably. It's illegal to jettison something into space.
Great. Like rubbish. Tell that to Neil Armstrong.
He
jettisoned his poo into space.
Oh, but yeah, he
talked
did. About
this. They're supposed to do that, though.
No, I know.
And that was before the laws, probably.
If I jettisoned a poo into my front garden, someone would have a word with me. But he didn't.
Someone would definitely have a word. I would have a word with you.
What? You don't even live with me.
Jettison? What? Do you have like a cannon built up? Like,
why have you jettisoned a poo into my backyard? Neil Armstrong did it. Yeah.
I'm trying to start a colony on another planet, just like Neil Armstrong.
You just don't have the power to, break orbit.
I'll get there one day.
Imagine if we one day discover the origins of the first life on Earth was from another
poo
from another planet.
Highly likely.
It'd be funny if they died out as well.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
yeah.
Like we've outlived them.
Well, their poo has outlived them.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be really embarrassing.
It'd be a really, really old poo. That's the thing.
You're a really, really old poo.
You know when it goes white and stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say like one of the dog ones that go white. Yeah.
What?
You know, poo goes white when it gets.
I do not know that poo goes white when you leave it for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, you learn something new every day. That's what this podcast is about.
Want to learn?
All right.
Right. So Leonov picked a
start a little museum of poo, James.
A poosium. Emporium.
Poopium.
Stop talking.
Poo poo pee pee.
Stop. You know when we get like reviews that are like the Chuggle brothers of the science world.
You know, I like the science, but they're so immature. Yeah. What are they talking about? That's the point. Poo poo pee pee.
But they say it as an insult, as though we don't know. I know, okay?
That's the point. That's why me and James are here. That's why we're allowed in the room.
So we picked Perm, which is just west of the Ural Mountains, as I said. If you want to know where that is, go somewhere else. This is not a geography podcast. I don't know.
Go listen to
the Jog Guys. I really hope that we can talk about the Jog Guys enough that eventually someone with a fascination with geography starts up the Jog Guys and we can have like a sister podcast called the Jog Guys. That'd be great.
I tried to search for Jog Guys, but I can't find it anywhere.
We'll start it myself.
Can you link me?
They basically, they felt themselves like spinning.
That's very dangerous.
Oh, I hate
yes.
that.
So the rockets, after the rockets had like, you know, ignited and like pushed them in the right direction, the landing module was supposed to separate so that they were just on a landing module, but it hadn't done. There was one communication cable that was attaching them both. So they were spinning around effectively like on the, one of those, like, you know, our, like a Walter or something.
Sure.
Yeah. They were like pulling, a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. They were pulling 10 Gs.
In circular motion. Wow. That's horrible.
So, no thanks.
Yeah. So imagine being on a Walter and how you feel a little bit sick. They were basically on that, but their eyes, like the blood vessels in their eyes burst.
Oh,
yeah.
10 Gs, very nice. By the way, is 10 times the force of gravity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. 10 times the gravity that you're feeling now. That's what they
but
were pulling.
But in spinning motion.
Yeah. So that was not great. They were hurtling towards the ground, spinning. The blood vessels in their eyes had burst, and they basically had no control over what was going on.
So they're just basically like, we're going to die now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
They're in a NutriBullet. That's what they're in. I mean,
yeah. But then luckily, that communication cable just burnt up.
Wow.
On re-entry.
Fantastic news.
So obviously, when you're traveling through the atmosphere really quick, you can start to feel friction, effectively, from the air.
Particles.
And yeah, and when you're coming down from space...
At 10G.
Yeah. At a really...
Yeah.
That can destroy things. Like, actually burn through hulls. Which is why spacecrafts need to have such, you know, strong
reinforced
outsides. Yeah.
Wow.
So how did they get out of this one? You're doing like the Marvel Cinematic Universe way of telling stories, which is to paint yourself into a horrible, horrible corner, then figure a way out. So what's the way out?
Captain Marvel swooped in. And...
This is literally the start of Endgame, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it literally is.
Yeah, so as I said, the communication cable just burnt. So they weren't then attached to the other part of the ship. Mm. And they were able to, you know, hit the rockets, the landing rockets.
Yeah.
And slow themselves down a bit.
Oh, so the solution to it was luck.
Oh, sheer luck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but this happened...
That's not a good Marvel Cinematic Universe writing.
No, that's a really, really bad way to get... Like, oh, we were just really lucky. Thanos tripped and, you know, broke his neck.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like that would be considered really bad writing.
Or, you know, a rat climbed on a piece of machinery and save the universe.
It's 5 years. Rat's got... No, that's fine.
It would have happened at some point.
It would have happened. Luke's like...
Mm-hmm.
Not seen this film.
I saw the first half and I did not see the second half.
So the only reason they managed to save the universe is because, by chance, a rat walked over a computer module and saved Ant-Man from the quantum realm.
So, you know, just about 10 seconds ago when I said that would be really bad writing if they were writing that in the film... That's really bad writing.
Yeah, but they do it in a way that makes you not think about it, so it's fine.
That's not good. That's like being like, oh, well, they got us drunk before we watched it, so we didn't care.
No, but they beat each other up and stuff, so it's a fun time.
Yeah, big CGI budget, so it's fine.
Yeah, but Thor had two hammers.
Oh, my mistake. Did Thor have two hammers?
He had two.
It's but all then, fine, then.
He usually has one hammer, but this time he had two hammers.
But then Captain America picked one up, and he's not meant to pick it up.
And he had it.
I really had it.
In his hand, the hammer.
Right.
It was very good.
Okay, this is why I'm not going to watch the second half of Avengers.
And then Black Panther went, E-Bombay.
E-Bombay! That's what he did.
Is this the stuff that Marvel fans get excited about? This is so weird. Yeah. I like watching films and being like, what a beautiful description of life at its perfect state. And you're like, Thor had two hammers and rat bit cable. The end.
But hold on. Ant-Man got big.
Oh, my mistake.
He got big,
he
man.
Got big Ant.
He
big,
got big real, man. Real big.
He punched a space whale.
He stepped on someone and squashed them.
Yeah, that was good.
Right. And Spider-Man swung over the top of the foot.
My assertion that I'm not that big a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger every moment that you talk. Tell me a science story, Corey.
So the landing module separated from the rest of the body of the spacecraft around about 100 kilometers from the Earth's surface.
Okay, that's still quite high.
Still just in space.
Yeah. Mm.
But when you're hurtling at that speed, you want to maybe have a little bit more.
So the only thing keeping it together was this one little cable.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then as soon as the cable burnt off, the entire rest of the spaceship just flew away. Wow.
Not flew away, it also fell, but...
Sure, but flew away from them.
Yeah.
Relatively.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. It's a very strong cable.
Yeah, clearly. It's a strong cable.
Yeah, so...
I love things like
that.
Where I love that things like that where you build something like... Imagine, for example, they could have built the cables so that just one of them could still exist and the lander would still stay stuck together. And then they put like 10 of them in. And that's a great thing because then you have 10 times more force than you need to keep the ship together.
Yeah.
But then if one of them is the only one still holding on, you're then screwed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And like you want to be able to communicate with the rest of the ship.
Yeah.
until you tried to jettison it.
Yeah.
So luckily the parachute deployed and they just started swinging gently.
Aww,
all the way
cute.
To the ground.
What a nice ending.
Well, until the rockets hit in and they hit the ground with a jolt, which was, you know, not quite as fun. They were in 6.5 feet of snow.
That's a crash.
What? Buried?
Well, not buried, as in the landing module.
Yeah,
landed down.
Six. Wow.
Yeah, because this was in, I think, Siberia in March. So it was quite cold. Yeah. It was like at night it got to negative 30 degrees.
Ooh. And how long were they in there before everyone found them?
Well, that's the thing. The Soviet Union didn't know that they'd landed.
Whoa.
Or even really where they'd landed at all.
They didn't even like go on like find what? My iPhone and just ping them and see the
find
location.
Find my astronauts.
It had Android.
It just press like find. It goes, the ship ping. Goes ping, ping, ping.
Ping noise.
Ding, 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 ding. And they listened really carefully.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't know where they were at all. In fact, no one really knew what was going on because they'd stopped recording it for TV. Because there were problems at the start.
Right, yeah, sure. Right.
And obviously Soviet Russia, you don't want to let anyone know you're doing anything wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's probably every country, but sure, carry on.
No, fair enough.
Especially Soviet Russia.
Or do you just believe that because your country's at war with Soviet Russia?
Probably do you know both. What's happening in the world right now?
Is Scotland at war with Soviet Russia?
Yes, yeah, Scotland is in a cold war with Soviet Russia.
I don't really
know. Who is the coldest? Probably Soviet Russia.
No, Scotland gets pretty cold.
It does.
No, I don't really know what's going on with Soviet Russia. Carry on.
It doesn't exist. That's what.
Oh, sure. No, I know that. Shut up. This is not his, guys. My pronouns are his, guys.
You're making me have a coughing fit.
As I said, they landed in snow in freezing conditions. So they obviously would have wanted to get out of the...
They can't catch a break, can they?
Yeah, no, they would have wanted to get out of the spaceship, right? The landing module.
But they couldn't get up if they were buried in snow.
They weren't buried. I just said they landed in it.
How many feet?
6.5.
Oh, okay. That's not too much.
Yeah.
Cool. They could build some stairs or something by digging.
Again, they're in the landing module.
Yeah, they were probably tall enough.
The landing module is bigger than 6 feet.
Right. I thought you meant it was 6 feet.
Oh.
No, not 6 feet under. The snow is 6 feet.
Right.
Like, high. Not on them, just relative to the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was probably quite helpful for the landing, though.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Kind of like...
A little bit less of a bump.
Softened it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, so they wanted to get out of the landing module, obviously. But the bolt had exploded. And also, against a birch tree. So...
What? So the door was against a birch tree?
The door was against a birch tree.
Wow.
The bolt had exploded.
Of course it was.
So instead of opening, it was just basically locked shut. And they were stuck inside.
Oh,
yeah, they were stuck inside.
This is like a big example imagine of Murphy's Law.
Imagine getting back from space where your suit like expanded so much you couldn't open a door, and then you tried to land and you messed that up, and then you managed to fix it, and then you landed and then a tree is standing in your way.
Yeah.
Like, screw you, universe.
Imagine dying from a tree.
Surviving the cold bitter vacuum of space. Surviving terrible re-entry.
Only
crash landing and then a tree blocks your door. You're like, oh, I can't get out.
So according to the spacecraft's orientation system, which must have been working now.
Thank God for that.
They landed deep in the Siberian forest, almost 200 kilometers, 200? 2,000 kilometers, which is about 1,250 miles away from their target.
That's quite...
Imagine if you were playing a game of darts and...
Oh, no, I missed it.
1,250 kilometers.
Miles.
To be fair, when you're shooting from that far away, it's a pretty good job.
Yeah, but you're a professional pilot.
A professional.
Professional. Well, I guess if you imagine the entire Earth as a dartboard,
yeah.
I guess that's quite close.
It's a 3D dartboard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Now the world's flat, man.
Cool. Great. Moving on.
Facts.
I love the idea that people actually listen to this think I believe any of the stuff I say.
So as I said, they were stuck. They didn't really know what to do. They had to assess their situation, but they really couldn't because they were inside this tiny little landing module.
Did they have like a phone? No, I don't mean that as a stupid question. Did they have like a way of communicating with Russia or Soviet Union?
No, they had a gun.
Oh, great. Yeah. America.
Just one.
Oh.
Yeah, but lots of ammunition.
How many bullets? Oh, lots of ammunition.
Yeah, lots. Cool, fine. Lots. I don't have an exact number, just lots.
Well, that's thank God a gun is useful against snow.
Shoot the tree.
I'm digging my way up.
How do they get out from the tree then?
So they just pushed real hard.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, and knocked the tree down?
Well, they pushed real hard to get the bolts out, and then they shoved the door.
Yeah.
So that it was dislodged from the tree and just, you know, slid away into the snow.
Like a little snake.
Like, it was alive the whole time. No, they just lost it.
So were they actually looking for them, or were they just...
I'm sure they're like, looking for them. Mm-hmm. But they just don't know.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, they're not just going to be like, nah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were like, oh, they're probably dead. We'll just run off them.
So people came in later on in the afternoon, and a helicopter came by and put down a rope ladder. Unfortunately, in spacesuits, you can't climb a rope ladder.
They have to get naked.
No.
Oh.
They just kind of flew away. So another aircraft arrived and it dropped down some supplies for them. It was a bottle of cognac.
Is that alcohol?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's shattered on the ground.
Oh, how sad would that be if you're like, you know, from Soviet Russia, you're ready to get drunk after a horrible time in space.
And yay, then, alcohol,
and
finally.
Then it just smashes on the floor. Fuck you, Germans.
The thing is that that would like make you more susceptible to hypothermia as well.
Well, being drunk.
Drinking it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It'd make you feel warmer, but it would not make you warmer at all. You're right. More likely to die if you drink the cognac. They also dropped down a blunt axe. It specified that it was a blunt axe, which is slightly less useful than an actual sharp axe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also sent down some wolfskin boots and warm winter clothes that got snagged on branches as they fell, so it didn't hit the ground.
Oh my God. It's like they were just teasing them. Like, oops.
Yeah, so civilians kept on trying to help them, but they were not equipped to save two cosmonauts from the wilderness. Sure, so,
or indeed to just drop really simple things on the floor without breaking it.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, who would have thought? Why would you think to drop a bottle of booze? That just doesn't make sense.
Catch this glass.
I'm going to throw this dart down to you. Just catch it with your teeth.
Also, no, hang on. More importantly, not only did they throw alcohol to the floor, they threw an axe. They
were like, oh my God. Maybe that's why threw that blunt.
That's why it was blunt.
That's why it was blunt. Okay, that makes me feel a bit stupid because I was like, why didn't they throw down a sharp axe?
I mean, I think throwing an axe from any height,
it doesn't matter how sharp it is.
As I said, the daylight was gone and they're facing a completely different threat. They were quite sweaty, so much so that their spacesuits, which were, you know, airtight, had filled up to their ankles with sweat.
Wow.
Trench
disgusting.
Foot.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that obviously when you're cold
trench foot.
And you've got sweat on you, it's going to make you colder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was
designed to do.
So what they did was they opened their visors and did handstands and all the sweat came out. Yes?
Well, that's the thing. It got to minus 30 degrees Celsius. So they went into the capsule, which again, doesn't have a door on it, and got naked. They then wrung out their underwear to dry as much as possible, got rid of the bulky like outer suit. And tried to get rid of, like, took off their the other suit they were wearing, the softer one inside the bulky one, and tried to dry those as much as possible, put the soft ones back on with their underwear and their gloves and boots. So they weren't wearing the big bulky outer spaceship stuff, they were just wearing the nice form-fitting inside one. Then they climbed into the they climbed into the capsule and fell asleep.
They spoon.
I was gonna ask, did they cuddle?
Didn't say that they cuddled.
They should.
I reckon they did.
Always cuddle if you're cold.
I mean, they probably did cuddle.
I reckon they
good.
Did.
Yeah. Nice.
So they woke up next morning to the sound of an airplane circling overhead, which was quite good. They fired a flare gun.
And they shot down the airplane.
And everyone died. So a small rescue team came along to help them out. It was 5 men on skis. I actually don't know if it was 5 men on skis. It was just a group of men on skis. You know, cross-country skis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So there were, you know, rescue people and also a fellow cosmonaut who was...
What?
Oh, a fellow cosmonaut and an eager videographer. So there
cool.
Was that just by chance or were they looking?
No, they were the rescue team.
Oh, they were the actual rescue team.
Yeah, so they sent some guys, another cosmonaut, and then someone with a video camera.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were still talking about civilians.
They cut down some trees, they built a log cabin and a fire, and they stayed there for the night. It was all very good. Casually. This is the end of all the bad stuff, by the way. You don't need to be on edge.
Okay. This is just seems like it's leading up to like something going horribly wrong.
And then they all die.
Then the big bad wolf came over and blew down their log cabin because they built it with wood like fools.
And then the blunt axe murderer killed them all.
With their own blunt axe.
Yeah, so they built a log cabin. They had cheese, sausage, and bread.
That is a sad part of the story.
Oh,
as if their day couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, so they then had to ski 5.5 miles to the helicopter landing site the next day.
I'm assuming they brought spare skis with them then.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Just checking. Imagine if the ski men turned up and were like, damn it, we didn't bring any more skis.
They're doing a tandem ski.
Just get on my back and I'll ski you.
That would be fun.
They were then flown back to the launch site, where they were greeted by Yuri Gagarin and Sergei Korolev.
Oh, nice.
Yuri, the first man in space. The next day, they stood before a government committee in Leninsk to answer questions about their flight, and Leonov's only comment on the flight was about his historic spacewalk. Provided with a special suit, man can survive and work in open space.
I'm assuming he said that in Russian.
Well, yeah, obviously. In Russian.
Just checking.
I'm translating it. I don't know what the...
You're translating from Russian?
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's written in Russian.
Oh, is it really?
No.
Oh. Shut up. I was like really impressed for like half a
second. I didn't know
you
spoke
there.
Russian.
I don't speak Russian. I merely read it. But that's the story, you guys.
Wow, good story. Happy ending.
Very happy ending.
That was a happy ending.
I know, I'm quite happy
I thought it was going to end quite badly because of all the bad things.
All the bad things happened, but then it, you know, they stuck through in the end.
Just like a good Marvel film, it ended on a, except Infinity War, ended really happy.
Did they live a happy life after
Endgame
that?
Endgame did not end happy either. Well, they did and didn't. I don't know what happened to them at all. I know that one of them went back into space and the other one just didn't. And to be honest, I wouldn't either.
Wow, what a badass. He went back.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's
the
show,
that's
you guys.
That's the show.
Yeah.
Nice. Congratulazoni.
Well, thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jemkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupboard everywhere. Goodbye.
Sayonara.